If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi, Stacey Cole, and Todd Michaels.
Celeste, and the timeline as we were talking about, Celeste was reported missing in April of 2024. And the timeline, as far as we knew up until like yesterday, as of this recording, was she was missing, completely missing for all of that time up until the time that they found her. But now there is security camera footage that is from, I believe, the neighbors or it on their own house. I don't know which camera it is, but it is showing Celeste at her residence, her parents' residence, where she allegedly, where, you know, she was, you know, reported missing from, about 5 months later at home, yelling at the neighbors who were outside doing karaoke or something. How does that deal with this timeline here? Is this just, is it simple enough of, well, she returned home and nobody reported that she returned home? Is that the answer to that question?
Well, I think that's the answer, but it begs the question, how many other times did she return home?
Yeah.
Didn't catch on video. I mean, this whole missing thing now really seems bastardized to me.
Yeah. Was she missing? I guess is the question.
Right. We know she went missing in January and then came back and then was reported missing in April. And that was after being seen on footage by that pawn shop in March.
Yeah.
Reported in April. And again, the police, there's 11 police reports regarding responses to her house. One of them is on the day she was reported missing, but unrelated to the missing report. So it seems a hot mess for law enforcement. I think all of us can see the timeline is a mess because she didn't want to be found. She didn't want people to know where she was at. And if people knew where she was at, they didn't say anything.
And that's a real disturbing part of this whole thing. I mean, she went missing, and I say that in air quotes, but she was in plain sight. She's showing up on live streams with David. It's not exactly like, you know, it's just them and their high school friends. He's a celebrity, and so she's showing up publicly there. There's a lot of places where she's showing up and missing or just not wanting to be at home in her home environment. And there's, I'm going to guess, probably reason for that to some extent. But out there in the public and not a lot of people asking questions about that term of this person is missing. Why do you think that is? That there wasn't more question? Is this just a lack of people that cared about her in her personal life, I'm wondering?
Well, I think that's the really sad part about this whole story is, you know, did anybody really care? When you look at the timeline of David and his tour schedule, which was jam-packed in August, at what point did he wonder, geez, where's my girlfriend? Where's my girl?
Yeah.
And where's my Tesla?
Yeah.
The whole thing is really sad. It seems that the parents, they made that missing report, but why didn't they go back and tell law enforcement, hey, listen, we found her because she's at home this September. So it seems to be a real disconnect with who, if anybody, really cared about Celeste.
I mean,
it's
how
really a sad, it's a sad statement that there is a young woman who has so few people in her life that are coming forward to vouch for her. I mean, it's tragedy, really.
How common is it when someone gave a crap enough to report her missing? So at least
True.
There's that. But how often is it when someone is reported missing that the authorities aren't notified when they show back up? And again, at that moment in time, not a high profile thing. She wasn't dead at that moment in time. So it was just kind of a domestic matter to a certain extent. No celebrity, no microscope on this. She has a history of running away and coming back. How often is it that the return is just kind of brushed off and or never reported or never on record in cases like that?
Well, when you look at cities like Los Angeles and New York, Detroit, Chicago, these huge cities where they have so many runaways, they have so many people just go missing, they typically don't do the best job once the first 24, 48 hours goes by after the report and they start looking into it, especially if it's what they designate a runaway. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes that case just kind of gets put to the side because they have thousands of them.
Yeah. That's the sad reality of it. There was the interview that we saw with her boyfriend. And again, I say in air quotes. I mean, it's a boyfriend is at 12, 13 years old. And he's kind of like your typical, unfortunately, as I say that, boy of that age. I don't have the tape in front of us, but at the end, he makes a comment of some of the effect of, I just don't think anybody really cared that much. That's like one of her peers saying that. And he seemed rather unfazed by the fact that she went missing. I mean, this is the boyfriend, quote unquote, of that age. That there seems to be a missing element. I'm not trying to insult him. I'm just kind of saying of that. That group of that age group of lacking empathy or care. I don't know. I mean, I remember people dying at that age. I remember having a classmate that died by suicide. I remember having there was a kid that went missing too. And we gave a shit. It was like a big deal. It was like, oh my God. I mean, these guys are they're excited about as excited about it as if like the McRib was back at McDonald's. You hear the McRib's back? Yeah, it's gone now. Okay. I mean, it's about that level of care. I guess that kind of just speaks to the world that maybe she was living in and why she maybe felt that the only place to get attention or the place that she did get attention was with a rapper or an R&B artist that she didn't really know initially.
I think part of that with this young man was the former boyfriend, meaning.
Yeah.
Was, just think how young that would have been.
Yeah.
11, 12-year-old, they were boyfriend and girlfriend.
Sure.
So it's a very young age and probably a very immature.
Of course.
Relationship. But nevertheless, to your point, absolutely. I remember there was a kid that was a catcher where I went to school. And he literally was 14. His name was Jay Elliott. He fell over backwards and died right there on the baseball field.
Oh, God, yeah.
It was, we couldn't believe it. It was something we mourned, we talked about, we cried over for years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, baseball fields named after him. Like, this was huge. And this wasn't a murder and dismemberment, for heaven's sakes.
Yeah.
So I totally agree with your point. That the sort of lack of just caring And really, I think understanding loss just is shocking.
It is.
And that was sad to see. And his last statement was certainly sad.
It was. And I'm not trying to judge him. He's a product of his environment. But I don't know. I was just kind of disturbed by it. Just the lack of emotion.
Immaturity, too. I mean, look at his age.
Well, there's immaturity, but there's just lack of emotion. I mean, you know?
It might be a product of today's world, too. Yeah. You know, just this disconnect that... And I'm not blanketing a statement that all millennials are like this. They're not.
He's not a millennial.
You're right. What is he? He's Gen...
Why?
What? Z? Why?
What are you when you're 12 or 13?
I don't know anymore.
I don't know. It sure is not a millennial. Yeah.
You're right. Yeah. But, you know, I think there is a lot of disconnect in some of the generations. And I think that's what we're seeing.
Yeah. I mean, that's another conversation. In terms of the investigation right now that's going on, obviously you have local authorities. And is the FBI involved in this case yet?
I don't believe the FBI is involved. It's funny. I saw a report where people were saying the FBI.
Yeah.
I think they were just confused because this is squarely in the venue of LAPD, and they have one of the most well-versed and well-trained homicide departments in the country. Mm-hmm. They do not need really the FBI's help other than in areas of resources. In other words, I wouldn't doubt that if they came to the Bureau and asked for a particular, whatever it might be, manpower, ERT, something like that, that's the evidence response team, that they would lend a hand. But they quite frankly don't need it. They have their own evidence response team. They respond to many more murders than the FBI does or will. Mm-hmm. So I don't believe the FBI is involved, other than maybe a communication to say, hey, this is going on in case something happens, like we determine this was done across state lines or something like that.
Well, we don't have any arrests yet. We don't have any suspects public yet that we're aware of. Not to say that, you know, behind the curtains, you know, they're getting their ducks in a row. But I guess that would be the question. We still don't have an arrest yet. Why not call in the FBI? Why not have a few more resources if we are not at a place of having someone charged in this as of yet?
You know, the biggest problem is there's no venue for the FBI. The FBI has no jurisdictional authority, period, full stop. Mm-hmm. The only way they can get involved in local cases is that invitation, like what happened in the Idaho 4 case. They invited the FBI to come assist because they desperately needed it. And they got 60 agents assigned to that case. But in this case, I don't think you'll see that. And I truly believe because they probably had to involve a forensic anthropologist. I think that's going to take time. There were two statements that came out on Monday that really concerned me, Tony. Mm-hmm. One was from the Emmy that said, we may never know the cause.
Eesh.
I'm like, maybe.
That's a statement.
Cause? Yeah. If you look, I believe it was People that reported it or ABC. ABC Local has been on this case from the minute there was a body found. Before everybody got, when it became the Celeste case, it seemed like all of a sudden everybody was paying attention. Mm-hmm. But prior to that, certainly that ABC and many of us, I was looking at this well before we knew who it was. Mm-hmm. But nevertheless, my point is that's really concerning to me that they don't have a cause yet. And then the other statement was just about, we know we have a homicide, but whether this was murder or not. Mm-hmm. And I thought with the dismemberment, in fact, the quote is, and this is law enforcement, saying all we know we really have is basically the hiding of a corpse. That's what they said. And then I would add to it, they also have mistreatment of a corpse. But nevertheless, they said the hiding of a corpse. And I thought, wow, is that all they're going to be able to get down to? I was surprised.
Yeah.
That I mean, said that.
Is that all we know as of right now? Because I know there was talk earlier on that this I mean, is this, because it's being labeled as deferred right now, the cause of death. But does that mean that it's not a homicide, or do we know if this is a homicide? Where are we at with that, I guess?
Well, the manner they said was homicide.
Okay.
As opposed to accident, suicide. So they had come out and said, I think it was last Thursday, there's a report, and they've said homicide. But a homicide isn't necessarily a murder. You can accidentally kill somebody. You can provide, drugs that end up killing that person. But intent is a big part that separates a murder from a homicide.
I think a lot of people forget that, or maybe don't know that. They interchange the two and lose sight of the definition. So thank you for adding that.
But what about, let me just throw this in there. Okay, homicide. How do we know it's not a suicide? How do we not? I mean, because we don't have the toxicology public by any means yet. So if we do get that, and let's just theoretically say it shows an overdose of drugs, there's an amount of drugs in this person's system it would have killed you. That doesn't necessarily mean that was administered nefariously by someone else. She could have taken that amount of drugs. They could have found her dead, knew that, oh my God, this is a 15-year-old that's in this person's home, this minor, and she's dead. What do we do? I mean, you could end up going down that road of a suicide, and then we're trying to cover it up because we're frantic and we don't know what the hell we're doing. Or that could be an alibi that I just gave somebody to run with.
right.
Yeah.
The dismemberment, I think.
That's a crime, yeah. But was that a panic? Was that part of the that I think could be looked at differently if some sort of a panic? But again, why would you do that? But again, people do stupid things when they don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, I think as a suicide, I can't particularly think of a case of a suicide where then somebody decided to dismember the person.
Sure.
Suicide. I think that would be extremely rare.
Well, my thought on that, though, is not because you would almost have two possible things going on here. And we should establish one thing before we even get to that. What is the relationship that we know of between these two? We know that, I mean, we have video of them together. I know the speculation is that they were a couple. There's, you know, people that are saying, well, we thought she was 19 and that he was that was his girlfriend. What do we definitively know about that as of right now?
Well, we know that friends saw them and associates saw them as a couple. Mm-hmm. They've seen partying together. That was believed that they were together in that way. This is the rub for law enforcement. Unless I have a video, unless I have a photo, unless I have their bodily fluids mixed up together in a bedsheet, or I have communications between them where they're discussing their sexual relationship in that way, I don't have anything. I have a friendship. I can't prove it. And that's going to be a problem for law enforcement.
And that seems to be where it's at right now. I mean, a lot of people want to jump to the conclusion here that this is, you know, R. Kelly-ish. And yeah. I don't know if it is. I don't know if it's not. But that seems to be the conclusion that a lot of people are jumping to. I haven't seen any video of them in anything that makes me necessarily think they're a couple, other than people insinuating they're a couple. When you saw them on camera during their little thing, they seemed like, you know, two young, dumb folks chatting online and saying stupid things. And we can talk about that too, but because it looked like, that one chat that has been streaming around. I know you've seen it. I don't know if you've reposted it or not. I've seen it so many different places where someone brings up her age. They make some taunts about Epstein, about, you know, someone who's older with someone who is illegally younger. And then he wants to shut down the chat. He wants to delete all of the logs of the chat. I don't know why he thinks that this is a doable thing when you're doing this live, considering he's young and more versed in technology than I think older folks, but whatever. Somebody thought to put a body in a trunk too. I don't know if it was him, but that is the one area that points to concern about the judgment of the outside world and the law of being on to the fact that she is not of age and he is is older. I guess that would make someone, you know, panic the way he did. But it could also be, I don't want people to think that if we're friends and we don't want, you wouldn't want anybody to think that, you know, in any way, shape or form, especially if there's nothing going on. It doesn't completely definitively say to anyone, these two were a couple.
Right.
Yeah. You, again.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that still doesn't say anything.
Right. But also, Rihanna has that same tattoo. Yeah. There's a lot of people that do have that.
And so does Lindsay Lohan. And yeah. I agree with that. But they don't have it exactly with the dot, 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 the three dots after on their index fingers. And I just think that when you start adding a lot of it up, to me, the Hello Kitty stuff is
weird.
I think that was a grooming tool. You know, they met purportedly online through Minecraft, I believe, when she was about 12-ish per reports. And so, and he's still carrying on with all this Hello Kitty. We know she loved Hello Kitty.
Yeah.
I've seen a picture of her when she was very young with Hello Kitty. And her parents have said she loved Hello Kitty. And he's 20 years old and he's all over Hello Kitty on the floor. So
he's her gay friend.
Honestly, guys, that's been on my mind on this whole thing. Honestly, it really has.
Yeah.
And the family, her family, I'm freaked out by that family a little bit. And Jennifer, excuse me for cutting in here, but and I'm a big Columbo watcher, so this is where the question comes from.
Todd's geeking out.
What if somebody wanted to make it look like he did it? What if something happened at home? There was an accident, an overdose, something, and they're like, "Who can we pin this on?" Well, here's a guy that did a video of a body being thrown in a trunk. Again, Columbo-ish, over the top. But I'm starting to wonder about how this is all adding up because so far nobody's been charged and it seems like we don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
I mean, my only response to that would be is David's response. Mm-hmm. Again, I keep asking, how do you not report the girl that you are supposedly at least have somewhat of a relationship with? You've got tattoos together with that. Hey, she's not been around for a month or so. And then, by the way, where's my $100,000+ Tesla? Where's that at? There's just a lot of things that don't add up, in my view, with his reaction to all of this.
I think you got to look at it from the perspective, though, too. This is a 20-some-year. This is a 20-year-old. This is someone who was just a teenager who fell into a bunch of money very early on in life in very formative years. You know, he's basically not having anyone tell him no this is my speculation, you know, for the last several years of his life. He's just kind of living out there expressing his art with no real guardrails. And I think in that world of the music world at that age, you got a ton of groupies that are going on. And let's just, I don't know, for lack of a better term, I don't know that she's anything more than a groupie. You know, obviously underage. But there's, you know, is she anything more than one of many that are coming and going out of his house, whether it be anything sexual or not, just companionship, friends, you know, groupies don't always mean that they're having, you know, sex with the artist. Is it more of that where he really wouldn't notice? And where is your $100,000? Sure, for us, we'd be like, where's my $100,000 Tesla? But I don't know, in that world, in that insulated land that he's been conditioned to believe is reality, I don't know that those sort of same things would stand out to him as they would to us. And look, young people, as we've seen in other cases, they don't do a lot of the common sense things that we would think to do. Look at the Koberger case, the 911 call that took how long to make, that they decided to choose this other path of how they're going to handle it rather than reach out to authorities. It's not because they had anything to do with the crime. It's how they're thinking, how their process worked. It's different. Look at the boyfriend. Look at that interview. I mean, there's a different way of thinking here, and we're applying our filter on how we would do it. I don't know that's how they do it.
I want to say this, though. I don't think she was just a groupie, and it's not because of the like tattoos, but if you see the video of them. It looks like they're almost at a kitchen table talking. There is a certain, I think, familiarity and closeness that they have just for him to be streaming with her. And beyond the shush tattoo, let's talk about the song he wrote called Celeste.
Yeah, what do we know about that?
Yeah,
I mean, he didn't end up making it, if you will, but he certainly wrote it. It's unpublished, if you will. But there's a very close and tender lyric throughout that song. And no, I don't think she was a groupie. I think they had a relationship. I think it was a sexual relationship, but I don't think that that can be proven at this point, at least that certainly we can see.
Yeah. There's so many questions into this case as to what exactly, where exactly it was standing and what happened and when. Why do we not have an arrest of David as of yet? Does it mean that there is, that they just don't have the evidence to do it, that they are sitting there just as befuddled as all of us on the outside? And I'm not saying he did anything, but that's the question everybody's asking. Why hasn't he been arrested yet? What would the answer to that be?
The answer to that is in regard to having a relationship with a minor, as I mentioned, they fall well short without video or writing proof. So that's where that stands. And until they go through everything, and remember, I don't know if you saw this interview, but David says, my world was the internet. My world, my people, my life was the internet and social media. That's what he considers his life. Remember, he was homeschooled. He said, he talks about that. That's where I did my homework. That's my, that's my people. I even think he says my world, my people. So this is not somebody who was out and about going to beach parties, hanging out, you know, surfing. This was a guy that his whole world was what we have in front of us. And that was a computer. So I think that that's very important. In other words, they've got a lot to pour through to get some of these questions answered. A lot in digital forensics takes time and it takes a lot of accomplishment. And that's where I think where the Bureau could really come in if they have help in that area. As far as the murder, we know now as of Monday that they have an issue with causation. They're not able to determine cause. In other words, cause means bludgeoned, strangled, shot, poisoned. They don't have that right now. And they seem to be concerned whether they're going to get that. Until they have causation, there's no way really for them to make the case. So that's the murder case. Now let's move on to, wait a minute, we've got hiding of a corpse. All right. Why can't they prove that? There's cameras all over this Tesla. Put her in there. Well, that's when I was talking about, was that sentry mode disabled? And they have anything other than when the lid went up and when it went down.
And obviously you don't want to charge somebody early on weak charges and then they're able to get out and flee. There's that. I don't know if that's a concern or not. But obviously, since no one has been arrested here, I'm going to guess there are they still, it sounds like they're trying to build a federal case here against like someone like a Diddy, which obviously that didn't work out well either. But it needs to be to a certain level before you want to bring the charges so they're not going to get out. Do you think that's what's going on here? They're just stacking it up going, okay, when we do go in, if we do go in, this guy's not coming out because we have so much and we already got our eyes on him. We're not worried that he's going to go somewhere. I mean, pure speculation of what could be going on behind the scenes.
Sure. When you have a high priority or a high, not priority, a high visibility case like this, you know, everyone is going to be armchair quarterbacking. Eyes are going to be on it. And because of that, you got to get it right the first time. There's no second chances once you charge and the statute of limitations starts ticking. Remember, that kind of happened with Diddy, right?
Yeah.
They were held to the fire early and they had to get everything together. So they don't want that clock to start ticking until they have it all added up. The other thing is, I'm not convinced that there wasn't more than one person involved in this.
Yeah.
You have a dismemberment and a guy whose life was his computer and the internet, I just don't see him going down to Ace Hardware and ordering up a saw and a, you know, hatchet. Mm-hmm. I just, and the brutality that you talked about earlier, what kind of mentality do you have to have? Was he smart enough to realize, listen, two people can't keep a secret?
Yeah.
Or did he pick somebody that was willing to keep a secret and they did it together? I'm shocked that somebody wouldn't be talking by now, but man, this is gruesome what they did. And where did they do it? I don't think they did it in that mansion. Can you imagine the amount of blood? I'm a farm girl. Mm-hmm. We slaughtered pigs, we slaughtered cows, we slaughtered our rabbits, we slaughtered our chicken. I can tell you, it's a very bloody mess. And it's god awful.
Yeah.
I won't be trying to reenact that kind of scenario, but I can tell you it's horribly bloody and gross. And I don't think they did that in that house. They would never be able to cover all that up. And doubtfully in the car, just because of the configuration, where did this all happen at and who all was involved? They've got a lot to unpack.
They do. They do. I was really hoping next week that we would come on and you would have you'd be like slaughtering a pig or something and try to put it into your trunk on your nice white Tesla
with the neighbors hanging out, watching the whole thing.
Well, that's where I'm a little concerned. How are you able to do this in your driveway? And the neighbors are like, what are the coffin daffers up to today?
You know what?
Same old.
Short, quick story to end this segment. When I was playing farmer for that couple years on that farm, we had pigs.
I remember this story.
And they died.
Do I need to go do something different now?
No, this is good.
And they died. And they were heavy. It made me go, why are serial killers enjoying this shit? Because, I mean, the smell's horrible. But number two, a dead body, dead weight is so difficult to move around. And I don't have any experience with bodies other than these pigs. And I had to take the four-wheeler, put straps around the pig to move it because I couldn't lift the damn thing into anything or even physically get it going off the ground. And I was like, Jesus Christ, I have a new respect for serial killers and people who've moved bodies because this shit is not easy. And I can't imagine anybody going, let's keep doing that.
You got to work out and be in shape to do that, you know?
I was more at that point in time, too, and it was still... It was a lot. It was difficult, but there's still a week, Jen. So if you change your mind, let me know.
I can't do it. My God, she is so.
Reach out to a farmer, and we'll have a barbecue after it. After you get it in the Tesla, we'll have a little cookout.
We are farmers. My whole family is farmers. We still have all of our farms.
Yeah.
I could easily make it happen, and no, I am not going to.
Thank you for that. Appreciate that.
And somewhere, somebody actually wrote that they're going to have nightmares over my reenactment of going into the bag. I'm like, really? This is a crime. Okay.
You should do like a Jack in the Box. You just pop out of the trunk.
Surprise!
Coffin Daffer in a car. Yeah. Jennifer Coffin Daffer, retired FBI special agent, as always, thank you so much for coming on and giving us your insight into this case. It's crazy.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.